So maybe we can get a patient out here on the table. And Johanna, you had this 58-year-old man. Can you tell us a little bit about him? And maybe we can just, again, go around the table, particularly about the issue of when you start a patient on sorafenib.
Yeah, so this was a gentleman who I saw in clinic. He was originally diagnosed with hepatitis C in 2000 that was found incidentally when he was hospitalized for cellulitis. He did not have any follow-up with GI, but then started to get follow-up again in 2011 when he came into the emergency room with chest pain. And when he came in with that, they did a CT angiogram, which didn't show a PE, but showed some indeterminate liver lesions in his cirrhotic liver. And so then he started to have more significant follow-up, and they continued to follow these indeterminate lesions. AFP was normal. Nobody could really make a call. He was MRI'd on whether or not this was tumor. And unfortunately, I've heard this story all too many times. And then finally, in 2012, he had an MRI which showed now definitive liver lesions that looked like HCC. And AFP at the time was still normal, but he also had portocaval adenopathy at that point.
So just one point, Charlie, in terms of this issue of biopsy, if this patient had an elevated AFP, would you still have gone for a biopsy? In what situations will you treat without tissue?
Our center in general tries to get tissue because we try to do research on this, but moreover because our clinical trials, for the most part, insist, and this is a disease where we really do push to get people onto clinical trials. So whenever possible, we get a biopsy. There are criteria by which, with an elevated AFP and in the appropriate clinical setting and radiographic setting, you can make this diagnosis or at least surmise the diagnosis. But this patient had a normal AFP, so a little trickier.
So, Philip, how would you be thinking through this situation in terms of type of treatment to use?
Well, this patient has multiple lesions. My guess is that you felt he's not a transplant candidate, or?
Correct.
Yeah, he's not a transplant candidate. So the question is he a candidate for liver-directed therapy or not? You're concerned about the portocaval nodes. My understanding is that they may well be borderline, which we don't know if it's inflammatory or real. He's 51-year-old, otherwise reasonable performance status, and Child's Pugh A?
B7.
B7, so that's an early B. In this patient, I would probably consider first the liver-directed therapy. And the point to make here is that we don't want to confuse the community, because although we have our own preferences, in my institution, I agree, I do radioembolization, but the reality is that there's no head-to-head comparison between these different modalities. We heard Eileen talk about bland embolization, which is probably the cheapest also and the easiest to do, and we do radioembolization. But there's also TACE, and also there's the drug-eluting beads, which allows you to do it also in patients who have some degree of portal vein thrombosis. In my practice, this patient, I will consider a liver-directed therapy, and I will go for radioembolization, which is probably the one which I'm most comfortable with. And I will keep an eye on the aortocaval nodes. In terms of the biopsy, the background chronic liver disease with multiple hypervascular lesions on an MRI, you may need another modality to prove it's hypervascular, and I can forego the AFP, which is now is not really mandated as part of the diagnosis. And if I'm not going to put the patient on a clinical trial, I'm not going to do a liver biopsy necessarily. We don't have an in-house research program, so I need the tissue for.